Shout out to Josh. Josh, I've known Josh for a couple of years now, and he challenged me to a race this summer for our summer trip, during our summer trip, and he thinks he has a chance. It's really funny that way, but I'll see you in the summer, Josh. The Bible says in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, thou must be born again. The title of today's message, it goes down in the DM. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you more than we ever have before. Holy Spirit, reach each heart and mind with something that they need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a teenager, being a millennial in 2017 is one of the hardest things that's going on right now. It is extremely difficult to not only just be, but to rise and to grow and to mature and just to figure out who you are. It's very, very difficult. I do not envy our young people this day. I don't. I do not. I don't know how I would handle the intensity of the pressures coming at them from every single direction. And so, church, we need to continue to pray for our young people. When you see them, you might not know their name, pray for them. When they're doing dirt that you know is dirt, don't judge them. Pray for them. Let's get started here. I want to thank my AV team up top. I owe them. I just put it that way. I owe them. Thanks, guys. Let's see how we're doing. So the points to be covered today. Online relationships. I know that's a new thing for some of us, but it's real. It exists. And direct messaging. Then we're going to talk about what actually goes down in the DM. What is this DM? What's going down in there? And then we're going to wrap up with being born again. The main point of today's sermon, forgive the small font, but many times what we're looking for in relationships, online or otherwise, is the cry of our hearts for something supernatural. It's the cry of our hearts for something supernatural that only Jesus can give by being born again. It's plain, but it's challenging at the same time. It's not complicated, but it's hard. Y'all understand what I mean? Some of us remember these days. How many of y'all remember how y'all had an AOL Messenger? Y'all had them. This is back when you needed a laptop or a desktop computer, okay? Everybody had it. It was so awesome. And it wasn't and you had your screen name, and I thought just the people that had an AOL messenger, I just thought were the coolest guys, the girl. I was just like, man, you guys are all, I can't believe it. How can you guys have one of those? That's cool. See, this is where I was. See, this is the Yahoo messenger. How many of y'all had a Yahoo messenger? I still remember my screen name and all that stuff. This is old school, but again, you needed the laptop. You were stuck to the laptop or the desktop computer to send messages and to find new friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is where it was. Now, listen, this direct messaging, let me break that down. We're going to start there, okay? We're going to start with the direct messaging, okay? When I read these stats, it blew my mind. In 2012, 5 years ago, the amount of mobile messaging that was sent, 14.7 trillion messages. That was 2012, 5 years ago. In 2017, 28.2 trillion messages. And 75% of those messages goes through instant messaging apps. So it's no longer tied down to a desktop or laptop computer. It's right on our phones. And parents and anybody who has to reach or contact a young person, the open rate for mobile messages is 98%. Okay? So that means every time a mobile message is sent, it's opened 98% of the time. Email, 22%. So guess what? Direct messaging is here to stay. And I can say to you, by in 2 years, that 28.2 trillion, not million, trillion messages, I believe that will also double in 2 years. Because businesses now know, they see the trend going on, and they're jumping on. Now, it's not so much where you have to email or call the business. You can tweet them. And you're talking about fast responses? They are right back with a response. Because they know if they don't keep up, they're going to get washed away. These businesses, they are on it. And now it's even literally built in to our text messaging features. They have these things called bots. And bots are built in, so when you text and you ask a company something, you're not even talking to a person. You're messaging a bot. Listen, I've worked in IT for the last 15 years, and this stuff blows me away. Okay? I do it every single day, and I'm still blown away by it. These online relationships, swipe left or right. Now let me explain what's happening here. This might sound like foreign language to some of us. Okay? There's apps now on our mobile phones and devices that people make profiles, and based on whether you like them or not, if you don't like them or you're not interested, swipe left. Young people, am I saying it right? You swipe left, but then when you find somebody attractive or you're into, swipe right with your thumb. That's it. Okay? So then it starts getting to the next level. Did I leave this in here? Okay, so now it's not about whether or not if you have a mobile messaging platform on your phone or device, it's about which one you use. It's not about if anymore. You want to keep up. You want to be able to communicate with what's going on now in 2017. You are ancient history if you don't have one of these on your phone. Okay? You got Viber and WhatsApp and obviously Messenger and, you know, Twitter and all these. All of these are right there. Now, let me just remind us, church. Let me remind everybody. Technology is just a tool. So we can't just sweep away and say, young people, give me all your stuff. Give me your phone. Give me your tablet. That's the wrong method, Terrence. I'm not a parent, but I would strongly encourage you, just from my experience, that it's not about taking it away from them, but it's about educating them. See, it can be used crudely, like a hammer, or skillfully, like a scalpel. There's a lot of good that could come from this technology and these direct messages, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of good that could happen. It's all about in whose hands these devices are in and what content is coming through. Okay, so I want us to be balanced now before we just judge and dismiss everything. The young people know about this. When they get a direct message and their phones are blowing up, they call it when the DM is popping. That's what they call it now. When they're getting a lot of messages, their DM is popping. Oh, my DM is popping, y'all. They get excited about these things. And guess, listen. Some of y'all know, well, y'all get excited too. Some of y'all older folk know. Y'all get excited when y'all send some instant messages, some messages coming to you. Oh, you be in the middle of a meeting like, I'm excited. It's exciting. It's intriguing. It's captivating. This technology is fun. But what's going on in the DM? What's happening inside of these apps? What's happening? Every single one of these social media apps has a section called the direct message section so that individuals, all they have to do is find your profile or look your name up. They find your profile and then they follow you in some apps and then they can send a direct message directly to you and nobody else knows. Okay? So nobody else knows. Do young people know who this is? His name is Yo Gotti. And he wrote the song, It Goes Down in the DM. And so when you listen to the song, you understand it's not just these cool new apps that happen on our phone. It's a whole community. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole place. It's an online virtual world that these young people live in. But what is being said and done? A lot of inappropriate things are happening in the DM. Now, these are the conversations that usually happen in the DM. Okay? These are the conversations. Usually, this is where young people and young adults go to flirt with each other. They go to flirt. See, they find a profile, somebody pretty or somebody attractive that they like. They read their profile. Then they look through their pictures and posts and et cetera, et cetera. Then to get that person's attention, they start to like a couple of them. Right? Then the person notices that they're getting likes on their pictures and posts and videos. Then all of a sudden, ding, ding, or whatever sound comes, you get a direct message. What's up, girl? Or whatever, whatever it is. Looking beautiful, all these, new terms that they use, I can't keep up with them anymore. Okay? Okay, so that's the first thing that happens. So the second thing that usually happens, these online relationships are real to them. Some young people get involved and become boyfriend and girlfriend with someone, have a relationship, quote unquote, break up without ever meeting them face to face. I'm telling you, listen. We talk about stuff in TP Talk, y'all. We having a great time, and we're doing a great series called The Ten Commandments of Dating. And y'all, and parents, if you haven't brought them out, I strongly encourage you. We have two more, and we're two more commandments. And we talk about topics that help young people deal with this whole relationship thing. If we don't educate them here, and we don't, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we have to open the line of communication with our young people when it involves relationships. We can't just send them to Oakwood. You can't just send them to Oakwood and expect them to have a good relationship and everything is just fine and hunky-dory. Come on, Adventists, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all gonna let me preach in here? Number three, the next thing that happens on these in the DM. So in the relationship, this online relationship, what they do is they send pictures back and forth, videos back and forth to each other. And guess what? Young people know you got to be real careful. The young people get it. And see, in a message app called Snapchat, okay, this app says that when you post something, it comes down. How long does it take for it to come down? Y'all remind me, 30 seconds, how long is it? When you post it and it disappears? 10 seconds, okay? So they're taking their technology to a whole new level. So you post something on Snapchat, you send it to whoever, whoever's following you sees it, and then 10 seconds later it disappears and nobody else can see it later. But see, the young people know and have gotten wise to it. And what they do is do a simple screenshot and save the picture by just pressing two buttons on their phone, and it takes a literal snapshot, a picture of exactly what's on the screen, and they save it in their photos. So it doesn't really disappear the second you send it. And most of these guys out here, they have these... I'm gonna get to it. But basically, what you send to your boyfriend gets sent to everybody else. And vice versa. The girls save it, screenshot, and they share it. I mean, the sharing that happens on these apps is like, literally the second it's posted, screenshot, send, share, boom. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. Then, when they break up, or when one of them gets caught cheating, then they really got some ammunition. Then they really go into the smear campaign, and they start sending the most unflattering pictures or videos, and posting them on the worldwide stream so everybody can see them. Then it gets sent around the school like the new password to the Wi-Fi or something. You know, I mean, these young people know what they're doing. That's why, listen to me, church, young people and young adults, if you're having relationship problems, talk to God, not to Facebook. Am I telling the truth? And some adults need to heed this wisdom. Keep your drama and heartache and pain off the DM, off the Facebook, off of social media. It does not belong there. How come? Why, Pastor? Because there are vultures out there hiding in the weeds. And what they do is they wait to see somebody that's not feeling good about the relationship, posting about he's this, he's that, she's this, she's that, and it's boom, they surprise and they slide right up in the DM. I see you're having some problems. And I want you to know that if you need anybody, I'm there. Oh. And then, you know, some of the young ladies, they mail and say, oh, wow, he really can't. This is what happens in the DM, y'all. This happens. Listen, as I'm speaking right now. Then a lot of young people that don't feel great about themselves, in the DM, what they'll do is they say, how can I get more DMs? How can I get more attention for myself, towards myself and my social profile? Oh, I'll go into the bathroom and start taking pictures and videos of myself and then posting them. Oh, and then they'll say stuff like, you know, I'm confident in who I am, so I'm confident in my body, so I can show this, and you know, this there's a lot of of a lot of liberal thinking and everything out there. So they want to feel this. So to show how confident they are in themselves, they'll post a half naked picture of themselves and send it out. Then the DM gets popping. And that's what I want. This is what happens, you all. But as we go through this, so what does this have to do with John chapter 3? John chapter 3, it was such a dense chapter to study and get ready for this sermon. I was blown away by what was holding me up. So let's go with our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 2, we're going to park at verse 2. So there was a man of the Pharisees. Man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was the man. He had influence. He had money. He had power. He had it all. He had respect. He was able to tell the other members of the council to say, hey, let's ease up off this guy and this new guy, Jesus, that just came in town. Yeah, he did a miracle. Yeah, we saw the miracle. Okay, wow. He turned water into wine. Okay, wow. That was impressive. So God is definitely with this guy. Wow, okay. Then, we're not real sure about this whole knocking and flipping over tables in the church situation. We're not sure how to really handle that. But listen, guys, I need y'all to hold on. Let me check him out. But he didn't tell everybody what he was doing. So he says, listen, let me get some information. But he doesn't invite Jesus to his office. Verse 2 says, the same came to Jesus by night. The question, what made Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? There's three reasons why he came to Jesus at night. Number one, because of pride. He didn't want everybody to know that he, with this high office, was going to this new school radical teacher. He might be the Messiah. I don't know. But I'm going to go to him at night. I don't want everybody else to know that I'm having this conversation with Jesus. I don't want everybody to know that I'm stooping down from my level of esteem and presence to go and deal with this dude that I think he was born in Nazareth. So he was very prideful. Listen, it's the same reason Nicodemus went at night. It's the same reason the young people go on the DMs is because of pride. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to know, hey, I have this many followers. I have this many DMs coming my way. I have this many girls that I'm doing illicit and inappropriate things with, and I want everybody to know. And see, what happens is, church, is when we don't create a judgment. Listen to this. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Why do the young people go into the DM? Is because they come to church and they see how we act and they don't want what we have. They see the marriages that are marriages there, but I haven't seen her smile in who knows how long. Then they see the divorce that's happening just as much in the church as outside the church. And they say to themselves, especially the millennials now, there's no way I'm getting married. I don't want that for myself. So I'll waste my time in the DM, even though I know it's inappropriate. I know things that happen in there and things that are shared back and forth are not appropriate. And these guys only want one thing and these ladies only want one thing. There's a lot of scandalous ladies out there on these DMs now. It's not just the fellas, but see, what the young people have learned to do is they dress up nice for us at church, but in the DM, something completely different. Parents, I need y'all to hear me now. We need to create a judgment-free zone here at church And listen to me, parents. It needs to, not only at church here, but listen, I promise you, the young people want you to talk to them. They shouldn't hear about sex relationships in the DM and on Snapchat and Facebook and Twitter. They should hear from you first so they have something to combat it with. They have something to compare it with. We have to open up those lines of communication. I don't care how hard they fight you, they want to talk to you. They want to hear the mistakes you made when you were young. I don't understand some parents that just will not admit and talk to their young people and tell them, hey, you know what? I did some real dumb stuff when I was your age. I did some really inappropriate things. They need to hear it from you. It's not going to make them go run and want to do it, church. And parents, it's not. We have smart young people. They can take in those things that you share honestly with them and put it in the right context. But we have to talk to them in our homes and here at church. The world has lies for them. Inappropriate ways to handle themselves in relationships. But if they don't hear anything else, they're going to go and make mistakes. Let me keep going. See, this is what should happen. Instead of pride being prideful, this is what really should happen. This is right here. See, young people, young men especially, let me talk to my young men, okay? We don't need to be all boisterous and loud and tell everybody how good we are in the bedroom and all this stuff and nonsense, which the guys, I need to preach today. Listen, these guys that are out there that are doing all this dirt and they think they're the man and all this stuff, they really only have maybe up to 3 to 5 moves that they do, and then all of a sudden when now it's run out, they run and then they leave and go to the next. Anybody hear me today? Why do you think that they can't stay monogamous? Because they have nothing except for that physical activity. So when that runs out, they run out. This is some deep stuff, but the guys, listen, it says up here, confidence is silent. Insecurities are loud. You know who the insecure ones, especially if you go down their stream, more times than not, if it's all about them and how beautiful they are, they're really broken on the inside and don't feel good about themselves at all. So ladies, don't judge these quiet guys. Don't judge and put them in a category and think that they don't have nothing to bring to the table. I got my baby right there. I was the quiet, confident one. Hey, let me keep going. So, the next reason. So we talked about pride. The reason why what they go into the DM. Number one is because of pride. Oh, listen, I'm going somewhere, y'all. The next one is they're spiritually starved. Listen, when young adults get caught up, especially online, and they get caught up in doing things and looking at things and sharing things and watching videos of things that are highly inappropriate that they have no business doing as Christians. I'm talking about the Christians. It's because they're spiritually starved. See, I love this commercial. I love this commercial series that they do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're not you, you're not you when you're hungry. Listen, that's what the Bible says, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. We have to feed ourselves spiritually or we will be starved. And when we are starved, we will want to fill ourselves on the world's junk food that leaves us empty. See, Nicodemus came to Jesus full of pride, full of, listen, I am the man, but you know what? He couldn't humble himself and admit to who he was, to what he was really searching for and what he was really needing, because he recognized that what Jesus was doing was on the right track. And he realized that what the Pharisees and the church was doing at that time was not scratching where it's itching for the people. It was very presumptuous, very empty. Okay? But Nicodemus didn't want to humble himself. He didn't want to show anybody else what he was really after. But he was really spiritually starved. Oh, boy. Again, we mentioned this already. So the reason why young people, young adults, and adults, everybody, goes into the DM, goes into this secret world of illicit pictures and videos and sexting and stuff back and forth is really because of insecurity. Listen to me, church. Listen, this is some deep stuff, y'all. This is some deep stuff. Jesus said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus hit one of these faces. He said, what are you talking about? He hit one of the, he was like, no way. Jesus, wait. Hold on, Jesus. Hold on one second here. Do you know who I am? Do you know I'm a Pharisee? I'm born in the line of David. I should, if anybody has a right to the kingdom, it should be me. I've kept the Sabbath. I know all the doctrines of the church. I've come to church Sabbath after Sabbath for years. I've paid money to the church. How are you telling me that I can't, I don't have an already signed booth or home in heaven already for me? I can't see the kingdom. And when Jesus said it, all his insecurities rose right to the top. Because he thought his worth and value was in his possessions and his influence and his power and his money. But he was really insecure on the inside. Because if you take those things away, who is he? Can I preach in here? This is heavy stuff. Listen, this is deep stuff, because the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Remember how I told you he was prideful? He was spiritually starved? He was insecure? He couldn't hear and understand what Jesus was talking about? Because outwardly he was good. Outwardly he was a great Sabbath keeper. But Saturday night, what happened? See, listen. See, the earth has a core, okay? Everything that happens on earth, it is impacted by what happens in the core. And if anything out of whack happens here, it affects everything that happens on the outside. So when we see young, and so what happens is there's something deep that happens on the inside. Spiritual issues do not have an expiration date. So what happens on the inside, you think, oh, when I graduate from high school, I won't have those issues anymore. Or when I get my degree or degrees, I won't be bothered with that anymore. But all that does is makes the hole emptier and emptier. Because when you try to, it's like putting water in a gas tank. There's no way that car is going to opt to be able to run at all without the proper fuel. But we don't know that, and so we get caught up, and we are really insecure, and it's based on a deep, deep, deep lie that's in our core. When Adam and Eve sinned, it placed a lie right on the inside of every single one of us that's born today. Deep down, I mean down to our DNA. What's that lie? I'm worthless. I'm a loser. No one will ever love me. So what we do, and then all of a sudden, our whole lives are a reaction to the lie that's in our heart. Then the devil knows, okay, I put the lie in there. Now how do I got to stir this thing up. I got to cause drama, and then I got to get them to identify themselves and know everybody in here should wear a name tag that says insecure. Everybody walking in this church, there's something that each and every one of us are insecure about, that we don't like about ourselves, that we don't feel good about ourselves. The world says and gives us the opportunity to voice those insecurities by how we dress, by where we work. See, some of us work hard, forget about our families, work extra hours to try to raise ourselves up in the job and get all these titles and positions, because in here you don't feel good about yourself. So you need the applause of man, you need the labels and titles of man to make you feel good about yourself. But it's really screaming insecurity. And so when the young people don't feel good about themselves, everything has to get shorter and tighter. Then they have to really go over and beyond in athletics and in the classroom. Not that those things aren't good in and of themselves as far as athletics and education. But if you don't feel good about yourself and you say, if I get an A minus, I'm a loser. That's what the devil wants. See, listen, then he wants to cause an eruption. He wants to cause you to get caught up. And what he does is that he allows abuse to occur, especially when you're young, especially when you're little or a teenager. So he knows that your whole life will be a reaction to the abuse just to make yourself feel better about yourself. You know you have to keep these fronts up. And so on the other side, so it might not be going on in the DM, but it's like you can't ever come out of the house without all the makeup, without properly dressed and excellent. You know, you can't ever show anybody that you're not 100% right. Everything is good. Happy Sabbath. Because the lie is starting to explode in your life. And you don't know how to deal with the lie, then you don't know how to deal with the abuse, whether it's sexual, physical, spiritual. You don't know how to deal with it. See, the young, that's why they run to the DM, because they don't know how to deal with it, and they want to placate their issues. They want to stuff down the hurt. They want to sweep away the insecurity. And so they get involved in sex. And illicit messages and videos. God told me a long time ago, stop judging the young people, because it's the insecurity that's exploding in their lives. That you, if you deal with the insecurity, then all the issues on the outside go away. See, this is real stuff here, church. And if we don't speak to it, we leave our young people vulnerable to the world. And the devil wants to come in and ruin their lives. And he wants to use us, once he ruins our lives, he wants to use us to ruin other people's lives. And to have them go through breakup after breakup after breakup after breakup. Heart is in pieces. So by the time they even show up to get married, what are they bringing to the altar? Now we wonder why Jesus said we have to be born again. See, Jesus can deal with the insecurity. He can deal with the issues of our heart. What we need to do in order to be born again, we have to come with humility. See, humility is not thinking less of yourself. This is important. It is thinking of yourself less. This is real, y'all. This is what it is. So the young people, see, the devil wants to humiliate you. Get you to post inappropriate things. Embarrass yourself in the DM. But God just wants you to humble yourself. Steps to being born again. So we must humble, we have humility, and we must admit to our spiritual condition. Just like we have to admit it. See, it's one thing to know the Bible is one thing, but to know the author is a whole different ball game. And that's what God wants. It's in that relationship that he deals with us, that he loves on us, and he remakes us. See, the Bible says, and this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. See, you were dead in trespasses because of that lie, in trespasses and sins in which you once walked following the course of this world. See, the world wants answers. It wants to know that what am I going to do with this lie that's in me? What am I going to do with my insecurity? And they have to have an example, exhibit A, of what it looks like to be born again. And then look into the church. The young people are looking to the church. They don't want to go in this DM anymore. They don't want to waste their time in there. They know there's nothing good in there. But we have to give them the best alternative ever of being born again. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we are all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. See, this is what happens when we don't feel good about ourselves and we need to be born again. Everyone in here needs to be born again and to experience this thing. And see, we can't have it be where our best idea of who is our favorite character online is this. What is a side chick? What is that? That's really screaming insecurity. If y'all, they know what I'm talking about as far as side chicks. They're willing to have a man be with someone else and allow him to do things with her and still be in that relationship and not be in the relationship with her at all. That's what a side chick is really all about. They're okay with that. But that just speaks to the hole in their heart. That they don't know, it's gotten so desperate these days, and all of a sudden, when they're looking for a good man, they can't find it, and they have to settle for somebody who's already in a marriage. I'm already in a relationship. Marriage, relationship? Okay. Jesus did not die on the cross for you to be a side chick. That's not what he did. You're worth more than that. You're worth 100 times more than that. You don't have to settle for some jive turkey doing things with you when he feels like it. As I wrap up, I'm going to wrap up here. So, steps to being born again. So we have to be humble. We have to show humility. We have to admit our spiritual condition. We have to know when we are really... See, the young people know. They know right away when their phone is about to die. They are paying attention to it. And the first thing they do when they come into church, the first thing they do when they come into the youth room, the first thing they do when they go to school or to the new classroom, where are the outlets? Okay. I'm looking for the, okay. That's, I'm telling you, it's like they are CIA, something or other. They, you know, those folk that just think when they walk into somewhere, okay, where are the exits? That's how they think. That's how the young people think about their cell phones. We need to recognize that when we are spiritually empty, we need to go and get filled. So the last one. Steps to being born again. We have to be humble. We have to admit to our spiritual condition and allow God to completely transform us. See, nothing happens until the pain of remaining the same outweighs the pain of change. We have to really, really want to change. And see what God in his love allows us to go through heartache. He allows us to go through disappointment. He allows us to go through frustration in these relationships, in this online DM nonsense that happens, so that we will finally come to ourselves and say, I want something better. This thing is not bringing me any kind of joy. Benefits of being born again is that we have security. We feel safe in who we are now. We don't need the world's accolades or likes or follows. We don't need those. See, why do you think they count those things? Because it's important to them. What's important to us? What do we count? But see, when we're born again, we have full security. We know exactly who we are. Say this with me, church. I need y'all to say this. I am who God says I am. Say it one more time. I am who God says I am. One more time. I am who God says I am. What does he say? I'm called of God. I am chosen. I am the apple of my Father's eye. I'm being changed into his image. I am a new creation. That I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am forgiven of all my sins. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am blessed. I am above and not beneath. I am elect. I am victorious. I am one in Christ, like how we are modeled this year. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I am set free. Somebody remembers when they were born again. Some of you, don't forget, church, the first time you knew when you were washed clean of your sins and Jesus didn't hold it against you. Oh, don't forget, church. Don't just go through the motions. Ask God to remind you when he reached down and he saved you and he pulled you out of the muck and the miry clay. Don't forget that, church. We have security. We have freedom in Christ. We are born again. And the ladies, now listen, you want a right man? This is what you need to do. A woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him just to find her. That's what we need. Young ladies, I'm telling you, you all set the tone in these relationships now. You all set the tone. Don't let him text you at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And if he keeps doing them, block him. Block him. He'll figure it out. Stop it. No, you're better than that. You deserve way more than that. See, we have peace. We have security. We have freedom. We have peace because we are born again. We are washed new. We have to unlearn the lies that the devil has put in us and relearn and learn for the first time, just like being born, how to walk, how to talk, how to live, how to treat other people. I'm not going to just respond and live on the hurt and pain. My life will not be just reaction on the hurt and pain that's on the inside. I will be reacting on the love that God has put in my heart. I will be transformed. I won't think the same way. I won't want the same things. One of my favorite texts. Therefore, if anybody's in Christ, if somebody could come and play for me as I wrap up. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Old things are passed away. I don't care what you've done on those DMs. I don't care what you sent to that boy. I don't care what you've done with them. I don't care how many times you broke it up and broke somebody else's heart and then they used you and all this stuff. I don't care about any of that. Jesus doesn't care. All he cares about is you. He wants you to be born again. He wants us to be born again. See, young people, I know what it's like to be insecure. I finally got my job when I was in my 20s, or late 20s. I finally got my job. I finally got me a functional car. Not one that I had to fill up with water just to get to work and then fill it back up to get home. I had me a working car. And then I was really feeling myself when I got my condo. I was like, I'm the man now. I got it. I'm good. But for the first time, when I moved into my new condo and I had everything I thought I wanted, I was really empty on the inside. And see, it's the difference between being alone and lonely. And I was lonely, y'all. I was lonely. And I began to get caught up on this online thing. I began doing things I was not proud of, but I just didn't know what else to do. But then right here at this church, there was a seminar called Binding the Wounds. And it helped me deal with the abuse that I had, went through when I was 10 years old. And then I began to get involved here at church with the youth department right here. And then God just began to just work things out of me. He began to change me from the inside. Then all of a sudden, I didn't want to go online anymore. I didn't want to have these illicit conversations with anybody anymore. I didn't want to be looking and viewing and doing all this dirt. I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't get rebaptized, but I was born again. And I'll never forget it. And then a year later, I met the love of my life online. And when I think about my wife, I just look at her and I just see beauty and grace. And this May will be 10 years for us of marriage. Thank you, Jesus. And all I want to say today, church, as we wrap up, I'm going to have three appeals that I want you all to do right now. If you can admit, and I want you to show the young people, if you can admit, you say, you know what? I have some insecurities that I need to deal with and take to God. And if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I'm standing, because I'm down here, but I'm standing. And you say, I have some insecurities. I can admit it. I'm at church. I'm in the hospital. Anybody walking into the hospital doesn't get judged or criticized. What's wrong with you? Why are you hurt? Why are you sick? They just get ministered to. That's what we want to do here. There's no judgment going on in here. I'm insecure. I have some things I need to work on. I don't know what the source of it is. I don't know when it started. But I want to deal with that. I say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to stand today. Thank you. And if you know who you are today. And if you say, you know what? I have some insecurities, but there's some things I'm doing in my life that I want special prayer for, and I want to come to the throne. I want to come to Jesus. Just like Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, you're going to come in the day, and not for an intellectual, theological debate, but you're going to come for a divine message. The real DM that Jesus has been sharing and trying to get your attention all this time. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come to the front and say, Pastor, I need some prayer. I'm involved in things I am not proud of, but I need help. I'm sick. See, church, we're only as sick as our secrets. If you know who you are, you don't have to admit it to me, but you have to admit it to God and talk to him about that lie. That thing you say, you know what? No, that didn't happen to me. I refuse to accept that happened to me. God bless you. And the last appeal, I'm starting a small group with some young people I'm calling it New Life, that they want to learn more about God. And I have one for the teens, and I have one for the young adults. If that's you and say, you know what? I need to be transformed. I'm done with this life. I'm done with this dirt. I want to be transformed. I want a new life in Christ. And if that's a teenager or a young person, I want to invite you to come down. Pray, church, pray. If you're either walking or you're praying, I want to start over today. I want to hit the reset button, and I want to reset my to back to factory settings of my life and say, God, take me now. I'm messed up. I'm beat up. I'm bruised from this online, this DM stuff. But I want to be free today. I don't want to be involved anymore. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, church. Father in heaven.